We come today to the last of the eight stories of salvation that we have been looking at in Luke the last few months. And I want to start with a question. You know, what is it with Resurrection Sunday, or Easter as some call it? What is it with Resurrection Sunday and bunnies and eggs? I don't know a whole lot about bunnies, except that my brother and I used to each own a bunny when we were younger. And eventually the bunnies were given as a gift to another family who eventually converted them into food. And so that was the end of that. But eggs I know a little bit about. I love eggs. You know, my grandmother, bless her heart, she's gone to be with the Lord now. My grandmother loved eggs, and she used to eat 2 to 3 eggs a day. Not great for someone with heart disease. So she, you know, her doctor, she went to see the doctor, and the doctor was talking to her about, you know, how you can better yourself, take care of yourself. You're old, your heart's not good, you've had 2 heart attacks already, so maybe have just 1 to 2 eggs a week. You know what my grandmother said? I want a new doctor. And so I think she actually went through the process of switching doctors. But anyways, eggs. Speaking of eggs, 1 to 2 eggs a week or a day. My grandmother told me, well, when she was younger, when my dad was growing up too, people didn't get to eat eggs every day. She said when she was growing up, basically you had 2 eggs a year. You had 1 egg, it was a very special privilege, you had 1 egg on your birthday, and you had 1 egg on New Year's Day. That was it. You wouldn't be able to afford to eat eggs any other time of the year. And so, you know, I told this to my kids, and they said, it's too bad if your birthday actually fell on New Year's, because you have to eat both eggs all at once, right? But eggs are precious. And, you know, so I was telling the kids, nowadays we eat 2 to 3 eggs a day as a family, and we're consuming our yearly quota every day on a daily basis. But eggs are precious. Why? Why is it that we use eggs as a symbol to celebrate Resurrection Sunday? Because eggs symbolize life. Right? Eggs contain life. And Jesus, in his resurrection, not only gives us a way to receive eternal life in eternity, but he also gives us new life here and now, while we're here, before we pass away. Right? Many people think of Jesus and the life that he offers as something that happens after you die, but he gives us an eternal life here and now, today. Let's look a little bit at what the scriptures say about this. If you will, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1 to verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Okay, Jericho. Many of us know about Jericho. It is a city that was spelled by Joshua. How many of you know the story of Joshua and Jericho? Right? The Israelites were marching through the wilderness. They came upon the city, and the Lord said, you will defeat this city. And the whole story of how Joshua was told to march around the city, and, you know, they didn't lift a hand. They marched around the city, and on the seventh day, they marched around 7 times, blew their horns, shouted, and the walls came down. And at the end of that, at the end of the battle, Joshua said, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up his gates. Right? So Jericho as a place is cursed. And we saw in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the man who was victimized, who was robbed, he started from Jerusalem and he walked to Jericho. Again, Jerusalem being the place of worship, Jericho being the lowest place, the cursed place. So in the Bible, Jericho symbolizes a place that is cursed, that is just, you don't want to go there. It's not a good place. So here's Jesus. He enters and he's passing through Jericho. Now verse 2. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. We have seen over and over and over in many of the accounts of Jesus what it is that the Israelites thought of tax collectors. Remember, the tax collectors were fellow Jews who worked for the Roman government. They worked for a foreign government to take taxes from their own people, their own flesh and blood. And in the process, they would many times collect more than what was due because they had the power to do so. Not like the IRS today, which is kept in check by the government. The tax collectors back then, they pretty much had absolute power to take whatever they wanted. Right? So look at this man here, Zacchaeus. He is not just a tax collector, but he's the chief tax collector. So he is the worst of the worst. Okay? And he was rich, the Bible tells us. He is rich because guess what? He profited off of his fellow brothers and sisters, the fellow Israelites. So here is this man. Just picture what his life must be like here in Jericho. Right? He's wealthy, but think of how people look at him and how people treat him. I can't imagine that it's very pleasant for him to go to the market to buy groceries. Oh, here comes Zacchaeus, and everybody, you know, he's walking, it's like the Red Sea party. Everybody makes space around him. Or some people might actually throw vegetables at him. He was not well-liked. If there were movies to be seen back then, he went to the theater, people would probably avoid sitting next to him. So he had riches. He had riches, but he could not enjoy them unless he was fine being alone. Right? So here's Zacchaeus. He is a wealthy man. He's got it made. He's working the system. But he's lonely, and he's ostracized and despised by everybody around him. Okay. There's nothing that he can do that is good, and there is nothing good about him. And now here comes Jesus walking through his town. Okay. Let us look at verse 3. And he, this is Zacchaeus, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Okay, so we learn something about Zacchaeus here. He's short, right? For whatever reason, he wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't see because he was shorter than everyone else. How many of you know the children's worship song, Zacchaeus? Right? Okay, if you know it, sing along with me. Okay? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? A small man. A wee little man was he. What happens next? And as the Savior passed that way, he climbed up in the tree. Right? And Jesus looked up and he said what? Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house to... We gotta relearn some of these children's songs. Maybe we'll sing this next week. Anyways, so he climbed up in that tree because he wanted to see the Lord. And as Jesus was passing by, he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. And that's exactly what we see in the next verse in Scripture. Okay, in the next verse, we see verse 4. So he, Zacchaeus, he ran ahead because he couldn't see over people. He ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. This is a big deal. This is a big deal here. Jesus is going to go stay at Zacchaeus' house, right? What did it take, really? What did it take for Zacchaeus to meet Jesus? Was Zacchaeus a good man? We established that he's not a good man. Right? Did he have a good heart? I think we see that he didn't have a good heart. He's very willing to cheat his own flesh and blood for gain, for profit. There was absolutely nothing good about Zacchaeus. Right? But Jesus went to stay with him. Why? Simply this. In verse 3, we see that Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. That's it. That's all it is. Nothing good he had ever done to earn anything, to have Jesus come to him. But that day when he heard that Jesus was passing through town, he desired to see Jesus. That's all it took. Zacchaeus simply desired to see Jesus. And I don't know if it's out of curiosity or if he's heard a lot about Jesus and what Jesus could do. But whatever the case may be, Zacchaeus desired to see Jesus. And we see that his desire was very earnest. Right? Because he couldn't see over people. And so what do? He climbed a tree. It's not very dignified for a grown man to climb a tree. I never climbed trees as a kid because I was always kind of portly. But now, even now, I have trouble climbing trees because I'm afraid of getting up and falling down. So here's Zacchaeus, and he is so fervent. His desire is so great to see who this Jesus is that he climbs the tree. And so simply that's how easy it was for Zacchaeus to meet Jesus. Right now, Such an awesome thing that happened in Zacchaeus' life. You would think, you know, so verse 6, he made haste, all right, Jesus says be fast, and so he made haste, he gets down as quick as possible. Verse 6, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Just like that, right? And there's a lot of joy in Zacchaeus' life, because this Jesus that he was curious about is coming to his house. I would imagine Zacchaeus probably does not have many house guests. People don't want to go to his house. Because they're thinking, if I go to his house, he's probably going to take more taxes from me. Right? But today, Jesus was going, and so there was a lot of joy in Zacchaeus' heart. But look at verse 7. The people around, the people who were there in the crowd, the people who were also there to see Jesus, to celebrate Jesus, the people who probably loved Jesus, when they saw it, verse 7, what did they do? Did they rejoice also? No, they complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Right? We see this again and again and again. People who supposedly love God, people who supposedly respect and love Jesus, people who supposedly understood why Jesus came, when Jesus went to see someone they considered a sinner, they complained. They had no joy. They were, I don't know if you've ever heard this term, killjoy, buzzkill. They took all the joy out of the party. Right? But anyways, we go on. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, Jesus is now coming to his house, and Zacchaeus says to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Okay. Just think about this. How much time has elapsed since Zacchaeus climbed the tree, saw Jesus, Jesus said, come on down, let's go to your house? Probably not a whole lot of time. I would guess maybe 15 minutes, half an hour at the most, 2 hours if Zacchaeus lived really far away. But not a whole lot of time has passed between when Jesus said, I'm coming to your house, and now when Jesus is at the house of Zacchaeus. And what happened to Zacchaeus already in this short period of time? Notice, he says, I am going to what? I am going to give half of all my goods to the poor. This coming from a man who was willing to sell out his own countrymen just to get some extra money. He was willing to give away half of what he owned. And not only that, look, here's the Pharisees, right? Here's the Pharisees are complaining, they're complaining, and they're criticizing. Guess what they missed out on? One of the biggest miracles in the Bible. Here is a man, a wretched man, good for nothing. And within, let's just say it was 2 hours. Within 2 hours of meeting Jesus, he has been freed from the bondage of loving money. Right? We know that Jesus tells us man cannot love and serve two masters. You either serve God or you serve money. And we see up to now, Zacchaeus has served and only ever served one God, and that is money. But in the short span of time in meeting Jesus, he's been freed from that bondage. He says, I am going to give away half of all that I own. You know, money. Money, the reason why Jesus says you can only worship God the Father or God of the world, money, is because money has a lot of power. I don't know if you've experienced this. Money can really take a hold on us. You know, I've seen money tear apart families. I've seen siblings, grown adult siblings who supposedly love each other, duke it out and fight for inheritance. Right? And you know, in some of these cases, the money I heard about is not, okay, it's a lot of money, but it's not that much money when you compare it to a relationship. Right? Money has the power to tear families apart. You know, I remember when I first started working, I was living in Mountain View, and I lived in a one-bedroom apartment, and it was pretty nice, pretty large for what it was. And a friend, also who had graduated from college, contacted me one day. And he said, you know, Jason, I just need a place to crash for maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Do you mind if I crash at your place? I'll sleep on the couch. And I said, yeah, no problem. Let me just figure out how much rent you need to pay. Right? This was one of the things that I feel the most shame about looking back. Because I was brought up living comfortably. I was brought up being provided everything I had. And for those 2 weeks of sleeping on my couch, I was going to charge my friend rent. Right? That's how much of a hold money can have on you. And I don't even consider myself a greedy person. And so guess what? My friend found another place to stay. And now, that was in 1998. Now, what, 19 years later? 19 years later, I still think about this and I still feel so ashamed at what I did just for money. Right? So money has power, and in that short time that Zacchaeus was in Jesus' presence, a change already came over him. He had already been released from the power of money. This is a life that we're talking about. This is a life that Jesus gives Zacchaeus. In that short amount of time, he's already conquered the power of money. Right? And what else? What else does Zacchaeus say? Besides just giving away half of what he owned, which is quite a considerable amount, he follows up and says, "And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." I don't know why he had to say "if." We know that he took things by false accusation. Jesus knows, right? But he's going to play innocent, I guess. You know, if I happen to have taken anything falsely from anyone, I will give them back not just what I took, but 4 times what I took. Do the math. After all this is said and done, I don't know how much Zacchaeus is going to have left. He's probably going to end up with nothing. Right? This is the power of Jesus. Right? Like we're saying this morning, he is mighty to save. In his death and in the blood that was shed for us on the cross, he cleansed me of my sins. Yes. And in his death on the cross, he took my place in receiving the Father's wrath. But it didn't stop there. Right? Jesus is mighty to save, not just for eternity, but for the here and now. We also sang he rose and he conquered the grave. Why is that important? Why do we focus so much on the resurrection of Jesus? I mean, that's what we're celebrating today, right? Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus because in his resurrection, he defeated death. And in defeating death, the song says, as he stands in victory. Once he has defeated death, as he stands in victory, guess what came as a result? Sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Right? Dwell on that. The next time we sing that song. And as he stands in victory, when Jesus is standing resurrected, having conquered death, because of that, sin lost its grip over me. Sin no longer has power over me. Because look, yes, I am a pastor, but guess what? I am still a sinner. You, I'm sorry to say, are also still sinners. All of us. I still have a tendency to sin. I still struggle. And I'm sure that as time goes on, Zacchaeus also will slip. He may, because of his old desires coming up again, may go out and collect more taxes than he should. Or maybe he'll quit collecting taxes, but he might end up doing something else that would offend the Lord. So from time to time, Zacchaeus might still slip back into the old ways. But now, what is different is there is a new life inside of Zacchaeus, that same new life that's inside you and me once we believe Jesus, that is waging a war against sin. Right? Before this new life comes into us, when we sin, it's not a big deal. Right? I've seen so many accounts, and I'm not going to go into detail, but of people who do things that are offending the Lord, that are hurting themselves, that are hurting other people, and they give not a second thought to it. But now, when there is a new life inside of me, when I stray from the path that God has ordained for me, when I do something that is wrong, there is now a fight within me that enables me to pull myself back away from sin. And that is a victory that Jesus won for us. Verse 9. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Today, Today, this same salvation is made available to each and every one of us. It's available to each and every one of us because Jesus, the Son of Man, our Good Shepherd, because He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If we don't know Jesus, we are lost, and He has come to seek and to save us. That which was lost, that's me, and that's you, that's all of us. We are lost, and Jesus is here looking for us. And He not only saves us from eternal damnation, but He also saves us from ourselves, from our propensity and our inclination to sin on a daily basis. Look, sin, all the pain that it brings, all the needless suffering, all those struggles and defeat, I don't know what your struggle is, right? I don't pretend to be able to read your mind. It would be scary if I could read into your life and know what your struggle is. That's between you and God. But whatever your struggle is, maybe you can't help being mean to someone that is near and dear to you. You can't help being not nice to someone you love. Maybe you can't help it feeling like you're better than other people. Right? That's sin. That's pride in your heart. Feeling that you're better than someone else. That Jesus says that's sin. Maybe you can't help lying about your friends behind their back. Or saying hurtful things about them when they're not around. Maybe you can't always obey your parents. And I'm speaking especially to the younger ones here. Maybe you struggle with that. Maybe you're holding a grudge in your heart against someone and you just can't let it go and you can't stop hating them. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever your struggle is, Jesus' resurrection has freed you from the grip of sin if you accept Him as your Savior. There is no power of hell, there is no scheme of man that can ever pluck you from His hand. Nothing can separate us from the salvation He gives us once we believe. This is the good news that we've been talking about since we started in January. This is the good news that Jesus came to give us. This is the good news for which Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross. Look at Zacchaeus. All he did to receive his salvation was he desired to see Jesus. Right? He didn't have to jump through the hoops. He didn't have to attend synagogue a certain amount of time. He didn't have to keep track of how much offering, and I'm sure he couldn't offer it because he had a lot of money to give from. He didn't have to do any of that. All he needed to receive salvation was to simply desire to see Jesus. Right? And this morning, if you're even a little bit curious about who Jesus is, even a little bit, He is also calling to you. And He's calling us, you know, look, your name is not Zacchaeus, I know that. Right? But if you're seeking Jesus, Jesus is also calling to you, and He's saying, make haste and come down. Because today I must stay at your house. He doesn't look at you and say, you're a sinner, I can't be with you. He says, come down from where you are. I want to stay at your house. I want to meet with you. I want to save you because I came to seek and to save you. That's all it is. And so, in simpler terms, right? Like the song says, the children's song, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you come down. That's what Jesus is saying to each and every one of us today. If we find ourselves distant from the Lord, if we find ourselves not knowing who He is, He's calling and He's saying very simply, you come down. Because I want to go to your house today. And so this is what we celebrate today. The Jesus who died for us on the cross, who rose from the grave, who defeated death, the Jesus who wants to give this new life to us, the same Jesus today says, you come down because I want to go to your house today. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus, I thank you this morning, Lord, as you come to celebrate your resurrection, that you continue, Lord, to give us your good news, and you continue, Lord, to seek us, to save us. I thank you, Lord, that you do not give up on us, and that you continually call to us, Lord, and like Zacchaeus, all it took was a simple curiosity to see you, and you met him. And so, Lord, I pray that you will continue calling to each and every one of us today, Lord. And I thank you for your patience, that you wait, Lord, to meet with us on that day when we respond to you. And for this good news, I thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.